Murphy's Law abounds.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I thought I would have something good to say about the U.S. trade deficit this morning. Analysts were expecting it to shrink in October. And why not? The price of oil has been plummeting. You'd expect our oil bill to be smaller. No. The volume of imported oil was so high in October, it offset the drop in price. So our deficit with the rest of the world increased by $1 billion. And the gap with China hit another all-time high. Meanwhile, there's great unease about the carmaker bailout in Detroit and on Wall Street. Yes, the House did approve $14 billion in loans last night, but the Senate looks like a tough nut to crack. More from Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Many Senate Republicans think a bankruptcy judge would be better at solving the automakers' problems than the car czar in the House plan. Republicans say the czar, a presidential appointee, would be swayed by political winds. A judge, in contrast, could dissolve existing contracts and accelerate a radical restructuring. Michael Robinette is with consultant CSM Worldwide. Robinette says those senators calling for bankruptcy don't understand the auto industry. He says car buyers need to know their warranties will hold, their dealers will stay open, their resale value won't erode.
It's difficult to tell Mildred in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, don't worry, please buy our vehicle, even though we're going into bankruptcy. She doesn't have the faith that that company is going to continue.
General Motors and Chrysler need the loan desperately. GM is spending $2 billion in cash each month and says it's weeks away from running out of money. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Truth be told, if these loans don't go through, there could be some serious fallout on Wall Street. So far, the Dow is down 51 points to 8710. It's about 0.5%. The NASDAQ has dropped 12 points, and the S&P 500 has fallen 3. European shares are mostly lower so far, not by much. In Asia, the markets had a mixed day. There's plenty of ruckus over helping car companies and the banks. But if you listen closely, you might hear small business people around the country squeaking out, "What about me?" A small business lobby just issued a list of what the little people need. From our entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
The National Small Business Association wants the new Obama administration to lower fees on SBA loans and elevate the SBA chief to cabinet level. More affordable health insurance is on the agenda, as is credit card reform, says Keith Ashmus, the group's incoming chairman.
Many small businesses use credit cards as a major form of financing.
Ashmus says what's killing small business is higher fees and rates that often kick in without warning on all your credit cards after you've been late with just a single payment. The group also wants some federal bailout money to flow directly to small business rather than giving it all to giant corporations and expecting it to trickle down.
You certainly don't want to stop the source of the trickle, but at the same time, you need to water the roots.
Ashmus says the government could water those roots by increasing the amount of R&D money it puts into small high-tech firms to get them off the ground. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
I think it's safe to say the 787 Dreamliner has become a nightmare for Boeing. Today, the company pushed back the rollout date for the fourth time. It blames the machinist strike this year and more technical tweaks. Boeing has 900 orders for this gigantic plane, but airlines won't see it until at least 2010. Meanwhile, the filmmaker DreamWorks has a different story to tell. This morning, the company said it's delivering a profit despite the recession. Two films did especially well this year, Kung Fu Panda and Madagascar: Escape to Africa. This is the Morning Report for Thursday, December 11th on Marketplace.org. They say the economy can't turn around until the housing market turns around. And on that score, we've got some good news this morning from RealtyTrack about foreclosures. But there's a but. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more.
RealtyTrack's survey found foreclosure filings dropped 7% last month. But don't get your hopes up. The firm's senior vice president, Rick Sharga, says foreclosures are still up 28% from a year ago.
If we were talking about a medical condition, I think we'd have to refer to this as a false positive.
Sharga says the drop in November is because of action by states to freeze foreclosures and similar moves by mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
But if you can't afford your monthly mortgage payment in December and nothing changes on that mortgage, you're still not going to be able to afford it in January or February when these moratoriums are over.
The states with the highest rates of foreclosure remain those big Sun Belt states, California, Arizona, Florida, and Nevada. In that state, one in every 76 homes is in foreclosure. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
European leaders met in Brussels today for a major economic summit. They're considering a plan for an EU-wide stimulus package. But the chances of an agreement seem slim after a public battle between Germany and Britain. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard reports.
Germany's finance minister says the British approach to the economic crisis is crass and breathtaking. He says the Brits are throwing around billions of pounds of public money in a futile attempt to revive the British economy. All it will achieve, he said, will be a record level of national debt. The finance minister is equally critical of the plan for a $250 billion Europe-wide stimulus package. That doesn't augur well for the EU's summit. Graham Mather of the European Policy Forum.
The key thing that has emerged from this crisis is that it's nation states for themselves. The European Union can't really do much to help at the moment. Every member state is in there for itself until the situation calms down.
But the British government strongly supports the EU-wide plan and blames the Germans for being out of step with the rest of Europe and with the US. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Commercial real estate hasn't gotten as much attention as residential, but it's hurting too.
The boss will see you now.
C.B. Richard Ellis is the largest broker of commercial real estate in the world. The company's CEO, Brett White, is our latest Conversation from the Corner office. Kai Rizdahl caught up with him.
Granted, there are a lot of differences between commercial and residential real estate, but do you worry that commercial real estate could get as bad as residential real estate is?
There are similarities, but they're very different. And the first difference is commercial real estate, these are buildings that have tenants that are paying an income. These are not buildings that were bought empty for someone's personal use. And so the fundamentals are based on income off the property as opposed to wild speculation.
Let's talk about the opportunities that you have in this industry. You call it restructuring services.
Right.
Helping companies that have acquired distressed properties turn them around and make something of them. How does that work and how are you doing it?
What's happening right now in the marketplace is you're seeing a fairly dramatic shift of ownership of real estate from investors who bought the real estate the last 4 or 5 or 6 years. Many of them now have real problems on those assets. They have loans coming due. They can't refinance those loans. And in some cases, we can help them restructure. The FDIC contract is just another extension of that, where a large amount of commercial real estate is moving from private hands into the FDIC. And we'll help them look at those assets, manage those assets, and ultimately sell them.
Must be a pretty good client to have, the FDIC, in times like these.
It's a very good client to have. The FDIC is not emotionally wed to the properties. They'll move them quickly.
Is that a problem you have in commercial real estate, people being emotionally attached to properties? It totally makes sense in residential, right? This is my house. I love the house. But come on, an office building is an office building.
It's a great question. And I think one of the reasons that commercial real estate tends to do well in most markets is people don't like giving up their buildings. It's not like owning equities. It's not where you call your broker up and say, I'm through with this particular equity. I want you to sell it today. Folks that own office buildings and industrial parks and retail centers do almost anything they can to hold those properties through downtimes. They know that these hard times right now will end, and those properties will have more value again in the future.
Brett White is the president and CEO of CB Richard Ellis. Mr. White, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you very much.
You can hear more of that conversation online at marketplace.org.
Thank you.
Remember about a year ago, the British pound was crushing the dollar? It was setting a new record every day at more than 2-1. Well, those days are gone. The pound isn't even $1.50 this morning, and its drop has some Brits considering the unthinkable. Christopher Worth reports from London.
The story of a declining currency is all about winners and losers. Eden Basic is the co-owner of Ferreza, a chain of gourmet pizza restaurants in London. Their selling point is top quality ingredients imported from Italy.
This is pancetta, Italian pancetta. There's radicchio, da fiori di latte mozzarella.
That last one, mozzarella, is very important.
Cannot find it in this country. It's called fiori di latte, which is like flower of the milk.
Ferreza imports a ton of mozzarella every week, and he pays for it in euros. But Ferreza's customers pay him in British pounds. As the pound has dropped in value against the euro, Basic's cheese bill has gotten a lot bigger. That makes him a loser. The pound has also fallen against the dollar, and I get paid in dollars.
If I could just have one cup of coffee, please.
That makes me a winner.
$1.75.
Thanks.
My $4 cup of coffee just went to about $3. And all of the pressure on the pound has sparked a debate over something that hasn't been so much as whispered about in Britain in over a decade. Giving up the pound sterling and, okay, quiet now, adopting the euro.
It's really an emotional issue for a lot of people in Britain.
Roland Rudd is the chairman of Business for New Europe.
But ultimately, as with everything, it comes down to economics.
He says converting to the euro could unify Europe's response to the financial crisis. The European Central Bank, and not the Bank of England, would control the UK's monetary policy.
A number of people see the loss of sterling would equate to a loss of sovereignty.
Hugo Robinson is at the think tank Open Europe.
A weakening of the pound sterling is no bad thing.
That's because British exports go up when the pound goes down. The debate will go on, but the pound would probably have to collapse to get the Brits to give up their sterling. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
And I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.